Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another amazing episode of Nerdy Show. Hi, I'm Hex.
Cap.
Triforce Mike.
And what you listened to before that was the highly recognizable remix of Tank, the theme from Cowboy Bebop, by our good pal, DJ Robo Rob.
It sounds like he drank a bunch of Mountain Dew, was eating some Cheetos, watching Adult Swim. You know, back in, like, what was it, 2001? And it was just like, man.
The animes.
It is a good one.
It is a good one.
It's one of the good ones.
So, last month was an event, to say the least. I'm really glad that things, you know, towards the end of the month ended the way they did. It was getting really, really stressful.
Yeah.
Us worrying about where Dean was and everything. And like you heard in the episode, things worked out for the best. If you haven't, then I'd say that's at the top of my highly recommended Nerdy Show listenings.
It's, things are better between Dean and I now. We've just kind of rekindled our friendship, all supernatural weirdness aside. We're getting past it. We're moving on.
That's good.
One day at a time.
The Minecraft server has continued to blow up.
My God.
Like, blow up.
Kaboom!
It may actually blow up. We've got a bunch of traffic coming in from nuclear power because one of the Minecrafters has...
It's pronounced nuclear power.
You get it right, moron.
Yeah.
I'm a failure. One of the Minecrafters...
Nuclear power!
God. Stooges jokes, really? How old are you? 80?
Yes.
He made Black Mage, and now there's an entire set of 8-bit theater characters, Final Fantasying it up in hugeness across the mountaintops, and one Minecrafter also put up a gigantic Watchman pin.
Yeah.
Which is going to be very visible from space during our next mapping of the server.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we've started, as a result of all this progress and all this amazing stuff happening, we started an article series done by our video game correspondent, now staff writer, Kristen. And she's going to be exploring the server and just, well, really, like, Mike, the last couple times we've been on, we just wander around.
There's nothing for me to do except sightsee.
At this point, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's just like I go on, and I'm completely overwhelmed, and I'm just like, well, there's no reason for me to make anything ever. But I really, really appreciate and love what everyone's doing.
There's not one, but two undersea palaces.
Yeah.
And they're both different and completely amazing.
Yeah.
There's too much stuff for Kristen to catalog in a weekly article series. There's too much stuff for us to talk about.
Yeah.
We're going to try to cover our favorite stuff in the articles, but man, it's overwhelming, and thank you guys so much. It's amazing. We've started accepting donations specifically for the Minecraft server because it's blowing up. It's overwhelming.
It's overheating.
People come in there, and yes, this is true. People come in there like, oh my God, how long has the server been up for? Experienced Minecrafters who've been on other servers have come
on. Can we call them miners?
Experienced miners have come on the server, and they've been like, what the hell? And it's all because of you guys, and it's amazing, and thank you. That's cool as hell that we, you know, set this up on a lark, and you guys have been making it. It's one of, like, the most impressive online video game experiences I've ever seen. At least the most creative one, anyway.
We will be known as, like, a haven for miners.
Yes. Come, miners. And join us.
We're going to put up one of those, like, little things outside of McDonald's. You know, it's got that, like, person shape hugging another person shape.
Yes.
A safe place.
Yes.
A safe place for minors.
Which is weird because...
because Mike's there.
Doesn't Chris Hansen catch everyone at McDonald's? Like, one episode I think they did, the one I watched.
That's weird. That must have been weird for McDonald's.
Well, there goes our...
So much for being a safe place. Yeah. Another thing that happened was Halloween. We had a spooky D&D episode. We had a really spooky Nerdy Show Prime episode. And I was at in Asheville, North Carolina for Halloween for MogFest, and it was Halloween the entire weekend there. There was Halloween costumes from day one of the festival through all 3 days.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
People who were there all 3 days had a different costume every day. Asheville, holy crap. They love being weird, and they love Halloween costumes. I saw a robot unicorn, a Little Big Planet sack boy, I guess, modded out to look like that person's individual sack boy. And this costume was taller than you, Hex.
Whoa.
This was like a very gigantic sack boy. And I got actually a lot of pictures on the Consequence of Sound article about MogFest with all these crazy costumes. And I'll link to there. But I was Sonny Crockett for Halloween from Miami Vice. What were you guys?
I was Finn the Human from Adventure Time.
I was Dale from Walking Dead.
Nice.
Nice.
Were you anything?
I played the part of a guy writing comic books.
Sitting behind a desk, typing away furiously, with all the lights off, so you didn't have to
wondering
give anyone
why
candy.
Wondering why you went to high school.
Yes.
You didn't give out any candy or anything?
No, no kids came by.
Oh, dang. So you got to keep all that candy for yourself.
Yeah.
So, Halloween, you were at Moonfest.
I was, yeah.
Mike and I, however.
And like magic, a new character has joined the party.
Check for special skills, none.
Oh, look, a wild Brandon has appeared.
Yeah, that's it. That's
yeah, that's it. Okay, so Walking Dead.
Yeah, so while you were at MoogFest, Mike and I were watching the premiere of Walking Dead.
I was actually going to leave MoogFest to watch Walking Dead. Motherfucking hotel didn't have AMC. Go figure.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's bullshit.
It's the American Movie Classics channel.
I know. Apparently that
it's the channel of America.
Sheridan isn't very American.
Fuck them.
Terrorists.
Yeah.
God, we should nuke them.
But yeah, no. We watched Walking Dead.
And it was phenomenal.
It was pretty insane.
And as of this recording, two episodes have been
out. Two episodes have come out as this recording. So, And everyone here has seen it except Brian?
Correct.
Yeah, Brian was...
Am I the only one who hasn't read it? I haven't read it because I'm an
asshole. I read some of it.
Yeah, I'm going to read it when I'm done now, watching the show.
When it's all done?
When it's all done in about 10 years.
You know, I have it all.
I'm looking at it. It's in front of me.
I have most of it in front of me.
I could read it tonight. But will I? Stay tuned.
I'll do what I always do when I want you to read something. Just leave it in front of the bathroom.
That's true. I do my best reading while I'm taking a dump.
Yeah, Brandon's read all but one volume of Cerebus that way.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Let's not talk about Cerebus.
So that's where he was for the last 3 years.
I've been working on Cerebus for like a few years while taking a dump. It's insane.
Yeah.
There's no more pictures. There's no more pictures. There's no more fighting. It's all words, and somehow Woody Allen's in there. And I don't know what the fuck's going on, but I gotta finish it because I set myself a goal, and I need to do it while taking a shit.
But yeah, Walking Dead.
First reactions to Walking Dead?
I loved it. It is not the same as the book, and I love that about it.
Yeah, I love the graphic novel. It's probably my favorite comic book, right? Like... It's probably my favorite
besides
comic book.
Besides Dr. Dynamite.
Is that the sound of Brian leaving?
Yeah. Did he slam the door? Charlie? But yeah, it's one of the best. It's up there.
It's definitely what I consider the quote-unquote holy trinity of independent comics that I get my friends to read.
Is it better than Preacher?
I would say it's more...
I really love Preacher.
I would say it's more accessible than Preacher. It doesn't really pay off like Preacher does because... Preacher was a finite story.
That's true.
And this keeps on going.
This keeps on going.
It keeps lingering.
Yeah.
The show is just as amazing and cinematic as the comic was.
Like, crap, the first episode was amazing.
I mean, the first episode was an hour and a half, and what it covered in the first hour and a half, I would say, is the
first issue.
Is the first 30 pages. So the 20 pages of the first issue and the 10 pages of the second issue. Things, you know, are obviously a little different. It's kind of remixed. It's kind of out of order. It kind of seems like they're getting all of the Atlanta stuff done at once without having them return.
Doing it in such a way that no one's going to want to go back to Atlanta.
Yeah, it's being done extremely well. The first episode, I know the first and the second episode, or at least the entire season, was written by the same guy.
Yeah.
But the first episode, I think, had way better, way stronger dialogue.
And where it was way more emotional.
Yeah.
Too. Like, it was like, holy shit, this is awesome.
And I think that is probably because the first episode was the Shawshank director. And the second episode was some other guy. But and
the
it
series
was,
is being overseen by the Shawshank director, right? That's the purpose?
That's the my understanding.
Yeah.
And so the second episode wasn't bad by any means, but the second episode felt more like a television show.
Yeah,
and the first one felt like a movie.
The first one felt like a goddamn
awesome
movie.
It actually reminded me of how, like, you can know what's going to be some of the greatest television shows of all time by their first episode in a lot of instances. Mm-hmm. Like Miami Vice shocked people because it was the first time someone had done a television show that even remotely seemed like a film.
Right.
And 12-Ounce Mouse. I saw the first episode, new best show ever. You all agree with me.
Twin Peaks, same thing.
Lost,
yeah.
Yeah, these are all shows that started with a bang. And, you know, whether or not they lived up to it over the course of their seasons is up for debate.
But their influence is massive.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, no, the first episode was absolutely amazing. And they took a single issue and a half that you can read in like 7 to 15 minutes. Yeah, because, I mean, there's hardly any dialogue in the comic either for those first couple issues, and so you can...
So you don't, since you're flying through it, because that's the pace of a comic, you're not getting that slow,
yeah,
pace.
It was
you get in a horror film.
Exciting to be able to relive the first comic in a way that was definitely more cinematic than the comic was.
Oh, yeah.
It has had the opportunity to linger on the characters and the emotions and everything. It was very exciting to see it drawn out like that.
Now, there is a complaint I've been getting at a comic shop, because a comic shop is the store where you go and just dump on everything. You come in and complain.
Well, that's every comic store.
Yeah. And it's also the internet.
Are you talking about literal dumps again, or just complaints?
No.
Okay.
So they come in and they go, "It wasn't action-packed. It was kind of slow and boring." And I'm like,
"You're an idiot."
Yeah, you're an idiot.
Didn't people say that about V for Vendetta?
I'll say it for you.
Yeah. What it is it's the generation, because, you know, I'm usually dealing with people younger than me who are, you know, just starting college, and the generation of zombie movies they've seen are...
They grew up with 28 Days Later and the remake of Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, kind of.
The advent of the zombie.
Yeah, more action schlock than, you know, survival horror.
Yeah, bizarre art film-like zombie movies.
What I think is interesting with the Walking Dead TV show, though, is the zombies have some semblance of intelligence.
Which is something that they've played with a million times. When we were watching Walking Dead in the Geekeasy, people were complaining like, "Zombies can't turn doorknobs. Zombies can't pick up teddy bears."
How do you know that?
And it's like...
zombies can't run. Who says?
Where is this... These aren't real. These aren't lions that people have documented how they work. You know? These are a fictional creature that are going to work their own way in every mythology. And if they are former humans and they have a brain in their head... And
there's some muscle memory.
Yeah.
It's a teddy bear.
Yeah, I mean, they explain that in the...
Like a sleepwalker.
Yeah. Exactly. It's kind of like sleepwalking, exactly. You don't really have control, but you kind of remember what you're doing, but you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, and so I thought that complaint was really dumb. And then another complaint was, in the wreckage of Atlanta... it looks like there was, you know, a military presence briefly, and they're like, "Oh, why doesn't Rick drive that tank? Get in that tank. Drive that tank."
Can I take
this? This is not Grand Theft Auto. Right. You do not walk up to a tank and press X,
haven't you seen...
and then you get in it.
Yeah,
for all you know, this tank has 6 pedals, and you go, 6 pedals, 4 directions, how do I tank?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that in basic Kentucky sheriff training, they did not
Atlanta.
Have...
I think it's Atlanta.
No,
it's Georgia.
Is he from Georgia now?
Yeah.
Because... the comic is from Kentucky. I remember that. But anyways,
okay, whatever.
It's hard to hotwire
sheriff
tank.
Deputy training. How to tank is not part of
how to tank.
Unless he was in the army and just by chance happened to be part of a tank battalion, he would never have learned that.
I'm pretty sure that there's not just a start button either. I think you need a device to start a tank.
And at least 2 people to
maybe
steer it.
Maybe a key, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You have to say the magic word. You have to, you know.
Bella,
so, anyway.
Delvish for friend.
Anyway, we're reverse raging right now. We're raging about ragers.
Yeah, I'm getting a rager. The second episode, I thought, was pretty fucking cool.
Had the action anybody was complaining about.
I
love Short Round.
That's
why I said booty twat.
the action was great. Glenn was great.
Glenn is one of my, from the comics, still one of my top 2 favorite characters. Him and Dale are my favorite characters. Yeah. And seeing a show that pretty much introduced Spotlight, showed so much more attention and more character, Glenn.
When I was watching the episode, there was kind of this typical conversation that I see in everything, and that's the racist white guy and the black guy going at it. And at first, I was really put off because the conversation was really stereotypical, just really kind of bland, generic racism, not doing anything new with that dynamic. Yes, it's in a zombie apocalypse.
And in
the South. But it was still, I was just kind of like, seriously? But then I've kind of thought about it, and it's like I feel that they are sowing the seeds for man versus man. They're really showing. The focus of Walking Dead is not the zombies. The zombies are
the primal bullshit everyone goes through when they're like trying to survive.
Exactly. So it's like, for me, it was... a precursor to the governor, and anyone who's read the book, and all I'm going to say is the governor, I'm not going to say who he is, but I'm just saying it seems like it's a precursor to that. It just really feels that like they're really setting up, really developing the man versus man, and they're doing it in the second episode, and they're getting the typical pointless race relations out of their system in the second episode.
I think they got it out of the way.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought the first scene was actually like pretty strong. It got a little tedious when they extended it, the conflict further. But all in all, I mean, I couldn't have asked for it to go down in a better way. I mean, it was AMC, and AMC hasn't been fucking around with the violence or the language in a lot of ways. So, I mean, it was a very kind of real scene in that respect.
That's right, they didn't edit the language, did they?
They did not.
They usually do crap like that. They used to. AMC, commercials, and everything.
AMC is a different channel now. AMC grew several
pairs.
Before
they got that show that boosted their shit again, they used to edit stuff, they used to cut things.
See, what happened is...
And then they realized, wait,
they've got,
have to do that.
They've got two on the vine. That's two sets of testicles.
But there's vines now?
So divine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just like George Washington.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cherry, yeah.
Yeah, AMC.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Perfect.
America... Two sets of testicles.
Done deal.
Wooden teeth. Fucks the shit out of bears.
One last thing I want to throw in. For those that know the comic, and even for those that don't know the comic, this isn't really a spoiler alert. There are characters in the camp that aren't in the book.
Yeah.
Fucker.
People that don't have names yet.
Oh,
yeah. Pretty much any character that hasn't been, they haven't addressed with a name.
If they're sitting there hanging their laundry and no one cares, no one's approaching them.
Yeah.
That's cannon fodder.
That's zombie food.
How many episodes do I have to wait for Nazis to be in this show? I know that there's some. There's Nazi zombies. Everything is Nazi.
They're in
zombies.
Episode 3.
Fuck yeah.
And
not wait.
They're Nazis riding pterodactyls.
Oh my god.
And they're why the zombies are there. It's a distraction.
But you have to download the expansion pack or you're not going to get this.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Escape from Wolfenstein.
What you got for us, Hex?
What I have is some awesome Adam Warlock.
Mm-hmm,
this
mm-hmm.
is Infinity Gems, because we're about to do the comic section, and there's a current comic that I've been digging right now.
Oh yeah, I've heard about this. Some
Walking Dead.
It's totally Walking Dead.
It's the best comic ever written.
There's
better than
some,
anything.
Some asshole, some like fuck web comic writer, some nobody is redoing the Infinity Gauntlet, like the greatest crossover story
that
ever.
That comic
and
is rape.
I heard that this guy who I've never heard of before, he's just some chump from the internet. He put this, like, bullshit Marvel character who's a space trucker in it.
Space trucker?
Yo, that comic is a $3.99 rape party. It's actually $2.99.
But lots of rape.
It's
more bang for my buck.
It's exactly like being raped.
Well, some may call it surprise sex, which I enjoy. I don't think it's called rape anymore.
You don't like it when I surprise you with sex?
That's different. That's not sex. That makes me very, very sad.
Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy the Adam Warlock.
Shit. I just figured out exactly what the track's missing. Hold up.
Really, I don't understand the science of it. Ultimate nullifier, the way the mic is covered. Call me Mr. Fantastic when I spit scripture, cause every line you read, I get richer. Herald of Galactus, I spit barrel-chested lyrics for practice. Tilt the world's axis. I know you're thinking it's strange that I'm a Dr. Rock like Ben Grimm, Bullseye, who shot ya? Right between the eyes and the forehead, third eye vision. Haters there with every word I'm spitting. Watch as I assemble rhymes coming straight at your temple. I'm like a Summerfield Studios temple. I gotta be the only MC with a law degree. Those hating on my style are all Matt Murdock. See, I got the power, man, hour after hour. And stop with all the talk of Marvel versus DC. And all these cats shocking my swagger. Stand up and show how green you get when you're Martian Manhunter. Yeah, I'm big headed like I'm Booster Gold, because I rock around the clock and never lose the flow. And did I mention that this S on my chest ain't for Clark? Can I spit Shaq Fu, rickety rock to pay the rent? Check my bank statement, rank better than state schools. A tricked out basement like the way that Bruce Wayne do. I hold the gauntlet, man, you don't want it. Throwing up a fist, cause Adam's the grand vaunted. I got the soul gem making you dance as I hold the universe in the palm of my hand. And War Rock got cats ready to jump and shout. Throw up a fist if you think that you're down, because I rock it thoroughly from beginning to end. I'm way beyond iced out. I rock Infinity Gems. Mental organism designed only for killing this mic. That's a line from Tribe One on the Silver Age. And if you haven't heard a single, you ain't doing it right. Fuck that, y'all missing out like for real, man. Raise the Memphis 10 with a pad and a pen. I wrote rhymes sort of laugh when you heard about my MO. You never heard a cataract the way I do about the things that you love. That's why I'm here to push the envelope. Y'all wanna dance, then go ahead and dance. Y'all wanna show that I can do that for you. Y'all wanna think that my songs will make you cry and laugh. Y'all wanna wild out, I got you covered too. Like the way that Tony Dungy do, Solomon Grungy rude. I speak so sick like I'm coming out the sewers to spew. And every hater's getting toe tagged and polybag, long boxed and coffins closing lids on you. So sick of the ennui all up in the comic scene. Culture that we love, so you better treat it true. I choose to annotate life, it's too scary. Call me David like my brother who's a Mary. Up against Goliath, aim for the eye of Cyclops. Ruby quartz, horn rims, kryptonite, high tops. And why not? Maybe celebrate the way that we do, cause even geeks wanna have fun too. I hold the gauntlet, man, you don't want it. Throwing up a fist, cause Adam's the grand vaunted. I got the soul making you dance as I hold the universe in the palm of my hand. And we'll rock, got cats ready to jump and shout. Throw up a fist if you think that you're down, because I rock it through a lead from beginning to end. I'm way beyond nice stats. I rock infinity gems. The war for infinity in stores now.
Sam Witwer, and you are listening to NerdyShow.com.
Bring me back again, take me home again, make it so again, Jody LaForge. Bring me back again, take me home again, make it so again, Jody LaForge. I'm a starfy ancient lacking in ambition. Always in the bar, Lord knows how I've kept my commission. I take the helm after a bottle of Klingon blood wine. Get overwhelmed on the throttle, I'm pushing what knife. Fuck knows how I managed to make it through Starfleet Academy. And there's always someone on the Enterprise that's mad at me. But as long as that geezer in the visor don't feel my lack of worth, I can rest assured he'll devise a way to bring me back to work.
Phenomenal track entitled La Forge by Milk Plus, the phenomenal talent of nerdcore hip hop coming out of the UK right now. There's this whole release earlier this year, Torrents, which was a series of collabs with Milk Plus, and MC Rection was in it, and a few other really cool nerdcore guys, and he just has this style where he has this kind of like sing song. He sings during the chorus and raps during the rest of the verses. It's unique. It's interesting. At least it's unique in the scene, and he has phenomenal production value, and he sings about Star Trek.
So. Well, hey, I mean, that's one of the things that nerdcore needs is more quality.
Yeah.
I just think it needs more Star Trek, because people just keep rapping about Star Wars, man. I mean, sometimes you've got a warp core problem, and you're Joy LaForge, and you got to go on the holodeck and meet a pretty lady. And then you fall in love with that lady. But then when you meet her, like, a couple episodes later in real life, she slaps you because you're a pervert. But then you know what happens? You end up marrying her in the comic book that's a sequel to the series that bridges the gap.
What is this shit you just spread it
that bridges a gap between the 2009 film and the next gen continuity?
Wait, that's in the Nero book?
Not the Nero book.
Oh wait, oh, there's two books.
Yeah, the Nero things. Book was just like Nero in prison getting raped by Klingons. The the one that's Spock going around collecting the Infinity Gems to.
Oh right. Yeah. Now we were talking about that before, and Brian, I'm sorry. I had no idea that was you. It was a big mistake.
Oh, yeah, that's okay.
Well, see, I like to read Twitter, and I got advice from this guy, Larry's Comics, and he said that comic is rape. And so I don't actually read anything on the internet. I get upset, you know, jump on the bandwagon. He was really loud, and he just kept spouting at the mouth.
He used a lot of caps.
Yeah.
Well, I think that guy really knows what he's talking about. I mean, he is a brick-and-mortar store, and really, what has Brian Clemenger, a webcomic author, ever done for brick-and-mortar stores?
I mean,
not a damn thing.
Not a goddamn thing. That's right.
It's just, the guy, he had a lot of valid arguments. He kept repeating the same inane thing over and over again.
He was so justified in what he was saying, he didn't even have to read Brian's responses to it.
No. No, dude. Well, he can't read when he's also holding his dick and staring his dickhead in the face as he furiously types with his other hand, not looking at the keyboard. Because he's saying, "Why you promote digital? Me and brick mortar. Why you promote digital? This comic been out for 8 months. Why you no promote no more?"
Yeah, so there was this thing that happened between Brian and this guy. Who, can we go on record and say that he sounds like he's kind of a schmuck, right?
This is Michael Ashley Pandel Jr. representing a comic shop in Orlando, Florida. Eisner loser, okay? We lost the Eisner, and I want to say that I think you're a piece of shit. Bring it.
Brian actually made it to Bleeding Cool. There's an article where you can see all the little Twitter war that sucked away in Brian's day. How was that, Brian? How'd that go?
It went rather well for me.
Yeah, you know, you made Bleeding Cool. And so, if anything, it brought you more traffic to your site.
Yeah.
Now, of course, comic in question is the Infinity Gauntlet series, which Brian's
doing. I will actually go on the record and say I fucking love.
That's great.
Oh, yeah. It's great. It's great. And anyone reading it loves it. Anyone who thinks it's $3.99 and similar to rape is wrong, because it's A, $2.99, and B, nothing like rape. It's really enjoyable.
Yeah. Unless you enjoy rape.
Well, then it's a lot like rape.
Okay. Just making that clear.
Because it's enjoyable, above all. One of the things that Brian's gotten some flack for from idiots who don't like fun is that one of the major characters in this comic was not a part of the original Infinity Gauntlet event.
Mm-hmm. Wait.
And he's,
are you talking about any of them?
There was a pretty big crossover, but...
Yeah. Anyway.
You mean he's doing something different?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
The guy's name is Ulysses Solomon Archer, or Ulysses Solomon Ace, depending on some things. Anyway, an eclectic comic book character from Marvel, 1982-ish?
Yeah, sounds about right.
12-issue maxi series about a trucker. And at the end of the series, he becomes a space trucker. And
sounds
it's amazing.
Brilliant.
And he's appeared... almost never in Marvel continuity, but he did show up in Longshot's miniseries and during that really amazing 80s, 90s She-Hulk series.
Oh, yeah.
And recently in Deadpool really crossover. Good. And Brian hadn't actually read the original series.
Mm-hmm.
So I took it upon myself to remedy that fact. And I sent it to him. And today, he read the first 3 issues and tweeted the entire thing.
How did that go? I actually wasn't on my phone or computer, so I didn't see any of it.
I'm still recovering.
So you're saying it was that good? It was enjoyable, much like rape.
Yeah.
Like, That's all I can say.
Tell us what you've learned.
Well, I've learned that you can replace a human skull with a computer.
Well, duh, that's how you do that thing with your voice.
Right.
Auto-tuning.
Right. Everyone who auto-tunes has a computer head.
Yes.
That's why it's only taken off in recent years. I learned that... you can listen to different radio frequencies on your computer head if you touch your tongue to different fillings in your teeth.
What?
Wait. But
I'm confused.
Wow.
That is how elaborately contrived this book is.
Wow. How does that even work?
I don't have
metal fillings. You touch your tongue to different fillings, and then you pick up different radio frequencies.
Does anyone have metal fillings anymore?
How many CB stations are there in the universe? Because he's intergalactic, right?
Oh.
Well, not yet. Guess is that there would be thousands. So he has a Liefeld mouth filled with thousands of teeth.
Or maybe he has to touch them in a combination, like each tooth signifies a number.
Or he
has
to play them like a piano.
Every member of Nerdy Show is playing with their tongue in their mouth.
Right? I'm trying to feel out, like, would this work? And no, it wouldn't.
Now, really, Brian, you've got the issues in front of you right now, right?
I sure as hell do.
Okay, I want you to pick up maybe the last, like, four or so and open up the front page until you see an advertisement for Atari games.
All right. Well, this girl's almost naked. Cool. All right. What Atari game am I looking at?
It's an advert, and it's styled like a comic book.
There's one for Joust in this one.
This is actually just for blanket all kinds of Atari computer games.
Okay. That's Moon Patrol.
I love Moon. I had Moon Patrol for Texas Instrument. It had one
Atari
joystick
soft?
And a button. That was it.
Ooh, Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah, exactly. But not what I was looking for.
Oh. Atari Soft?
With three kids?
Yeah, three annoying brat kids.
Okay, read the first panel.
Manholes of Venus.
Wait, what's it say?
It's a comic-style dramatization.
Wait, did he say manholes of Venus? Manholes of
Yes, here,
Venus.
Look, here's the picture.
Oh, wait, here's the kid looks just as confused as I do. Manholes of Venus?
And then,
what kind of game do you call that, Maxie? Later, baby.
Yeah, the girl cannot be in the same room as such pornography. She is out.
Because they're about to have gay boy sex. GBS.
Yeah, this kid's dad bought him a game called Manholes of Venus, or maybe, judging by the size of the box, also probably a VHS cassette.
Is there a picture of the game?
No, there isn't. It's a comic
it's
about, like,
assholes on Venus.
Like, what's supposed to be happening in this comic is the kid's friends come in, they're like, oh man, all your computer games are lame. And they're like, see ya. Then he walks by a store, he's like, oh man, if my dad just threw down $200 more than he spent me on these crappy games that I didn't want but should be thankful for because he's a hardworking man, I get these Atari games, my friends wouldn't laugh at me. So he threw away Manholes of Venus. And then at the end of the comic, he's like, I got all these Atari games, and what?
I thought Manholes of Venus was one of the Atari games.
No. That's not.
Does the girl stick around for these other games?
Oh, yeah. She's like, she says something along the lines. What does she say, Brian?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was reading the comic book. I could even get this stuff for my dad's computer.
Is that real?
Yeah.
Are you shitting me?
So, in this comic, they're hanging around. They're drinking nondescript, like, pink juice.
And also pink soda.
Pink soda.
The pink is watermelon.
Yeah.
There's great ads in this entire series just because of the age that it came out in, but...
Oh, yes.
Man, this comic, the guy who put this together...
He's laughing to himself.
Yeah, and now, finally, sir, I don't know who you are, but you have been recognized. Good show.
Yeah.
I think you should, Stan Lee of the 80s.
I think you should put an ad for Manholes of Venus in Infinity Gauntlet.
I'm sorry.
Just like in the back.
But that sounds like an adventure for Robo. I'm just saying, like, a one-off, maybe next free comic book day. It's kind of like Inner Space, the Manholes of Venus.
Oh,
jeez. Take that to the bank.
Right now.
US-1, fantastic comic, deserves more attention than it's had in the past.
The thing is, okay, I'm going to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
This is a terrible, terrible series. I love it. Because all the elements are so ridiculous and so stupid and never should have been put together. Nothing about this works. Nothing about it should work. And yet, I just want to redo this comic. I want to take this, I want to do 4 or 6 issues and just bring it back for people to realize what they're missing, because as much as it's terrible, it's also wonderful.
I had exactly the same feeling.
Because it just doesn't care. It's just like, here it is. He's this trucker, and then after 10 issues of trucking, always down some kind of crazy, very narrow, wrong way street on a cliff in a rainstorm. Space. Fuck you, he's in space.
He's in space.
Yeah. Now, there's actually something that I learned from a 11-paragraph little essay thing in the back of the first issue that I didn't know before when I was reading this. I didn't know this about the character at all. US-1, the reason the comic's called US-1 and the character was called Ulysses Solomon Archer and is now referred to as US Ace is because US-1 was a line of stock car trucks made by Tyco. And this was a very shameless attempt by Marvel, prompted by Tyco, to create a like kind of action property behind this line of toys, which they hoped to turn into a Saturday morning cartoon show. And I don't know if any of that material exists, any pre-production material for that cartoon show, but my God, I want to see it.
Doesn't Tyco make those remote-controlled race cars, or do they make chicken now?
They were best known at the time for doing remote-controlled trains.
It's interesting that you should ask that, actually. The cover of issue 2 features a lot of chickens. I'm sorry, the cover to issue 4. It is literally an innumerable amount of chickens.
And there's a reason for that, because there's a trucking race for them to bring poultry to a certain destination. And the guy who's putting it on is this weird parody of both Colonel Sanders and Foghorn Leghorn.
Amazing. Oh, this is great. I just opened it up. There's already, on page 2, there's a fight at the truck stop. There was a fight at the truck stop in issue 2.
There's always a fight at the truck stop. Always.
This is amazing.
They only stop at the truck
stop. And something that happens in every issue is that the characters always relate the US-1 origin story in full through dialogue.
Yes. Oh my God.
Every single issue, Brian. Get used to that. Every single issue.
I mean, that was the style. I reread the old Dead Man comics and the big compendium that Aaron let me borrow.
This gets ridiculous about it. All right, I'm going to interrupt you because this one is really egregious. Issue 3 starts with this. It's actually done somewhat cleverly. It's this horrible nightmare that Archer is having, and it recounts his origin. All right, and so in this kind of interesting, kind of dynamic way, in just 2 pages, bam, his whole origin is done. And catches you up exactly to where he is. All right. By like page 5, he tells the story again.
So I guess what it is it's like the theme song, an 80s theme song, where every time it's like the origin of the character, and then, but then it's like
Earth's most powerful soldiers.
Yeah, exactly.
Spiral Zone.
Airwolf, it's a cool helicopter. Yeah. Well, Mr. Airwolf, as you know, our cool helicopter.
I would love to have seen U.S. Archer as a cartoon show. When I was reading it, I was thinking, this could have been like one of those amazing 1980s vehicle shows, like a live-action show.
I would want to see the U.S. Archer cartoon versus that weird kid who could turn into a car cartoon.
Oh my God.
Well, what are you talking about?
I remember that. I don't know what it's called.
That was so
horrible. You get him wet and he would turn into a car.
I don't know about that.
Like Ranma One Half, where he turns into a girl, but he turns into a car instead.
Hey, boy.
Then he falls into a spring where a car had drowned.
So wait, let me get this straight. You have to get this boy wet, and he turns into a car.
Yes.
Huh. Okay. I'm just gonna let that settle in for a second.
What's it called?
Turbo Teen.
I bet he was.
He swerves off the road during a thunderstorm and crashes into a secret government lab where his red sports car is exposed to a molecular beam, which somehow turns him into the car.
That's every young boy's dream, is to turn into a
car. Extreme heat, I'm sorry.
What?
No.
Oh, it's just extreme heat?
Yeah. So, you know, you let him get a suntan, he turns into a car. You lock him in an oven, he'll turn into a car.
How often?
Or it's summer, and he turns into a car.
Every single episode, he was locked in an oven.
Or he just kept a huge standing oven that he could just stand in.
No, he just had an abusive father who just would lock him in the oven.
He's like, oh no, robbers! So he like crawls into an oven at the pizza place.
I'm gonna transform oven on.
Okay, we'll call the cops. We better lock him up in the oven.
And then this car just comes bursting out of the oven, and no one can figure out. It's like, you know, Clark Kent.
There was a kid in there, but now there's a race car.
God.
Was there action figures of a boy that transformed into a car, like a crappy...
There were. I swear there were action figures.
Yeah, I feel like I remember those. Yeah. Some sort of, like, fever dream.
Well, Brian and I both feel that US-1 needs a second lease on life. But so,
absolutely.
We decided that we want to throw just kind of an impromptu contest. We're going to do what we did with Will Row Hood, and we want to do a fan love contest for US-1. Anything you got. Music, drawings, comics, whatever...
Short stories.
Now,
yeah.
Is this comic
full
easily
novels.
Accessible? Can people
it is
read
absolutely
it?
Not. Maybe you can torrent it.
Can you,
maybe.
Can you post, like, should you post online? You
we absolutely
that?
Cannot do that.
That's aww. Totally illegal. But, I mean, you can read Infinity Gauntlet by Brian to get a...
And also Deadpool Team-Up.
Yeah. Or Deadpool Team-Up to get a feel for the character.
Or, you know those dusty, musty comic shops you never want to go in? Well, now here's something
he's
to look for.
You can go in there. You just move the old pizza boxes off the back issues.
Maybe it's run by a guy named Larry. I don't
know. Yeah. Maybe you go into the Larry's brick and mortar store.
Does he actually sell brick and mortars? I'm confused.
It's the term to distinguish a store from an online store.
Ah, I thought he worked at a Home Depot.
It's a very kind of fart-sniffing way to say, I have a physical store.
Yeah, I mean, it is the term that's thrown around the industry when it's, you know, online versus
But
IRL.
Think about how fancy the term brick and mortar is. It's like saying truffle dusted.
I just think you guys are bashing construction workers.
Absolutely not.
If you have any construction worker listeners, they're going to be really
upset. They're going to be like, listen, most stores aren't even brick and mortar. They're drywall and
concrete. We haven't used that shit in years. Yeah. What the fuck are you assholes talking about?
Well, personally, I think brick and mortar would be more attractive, guys. Maybe we should class it up a little bit.
But,
that guy sounds queer.
But yeah, you should go into Larry's Rape Room.
Real name, actually.
Get his get some back issues of this. You know, just read his Wikipedia.
Or there's we're going to post an entry online of like a brief summary of the character that I found and where you can see some pictures of him and everything. And you know, just, you know, feel out, like, if you have any experience with him, you know, write it. If you don't have any experience with him, write it. It can only be at least as ridiculous as the actual book is.
Our arch nemesis is a guy with a blimp.
Baron von Blimp. And don't forget the Highwayman, who's actually shown up recently in Jason Aaron's Ghost Rider.
Which was an amazing comic.
It was a great comic. That issue particularly was drawn by Tony Moore, who did the first 6 issues of Walking Dead before he decided that writing about bugs was more interesting.
The Exterminators is a great book.
Yeah, also canceled.
But it wrapped it up. Well, I might say.
But one has a TV show. I like Exterminator.
Not getting into
everyone else. Tony Moore's still a co-creator. He's still getting all the money.
Yeah, but Kirkman doesn't return his calls.
Anyway, U.S. Archer fan contest. Don't know what the prizes are yet, but we're going to be posting it online with basically the same rules as our Wilrow Hood fan love contest. Check out the site for all the details.
I would like some fanfic. Yeah. You know, some fanfic. Maybe a fan comic.
The ultimate prize may be convincing Marvel to actually relaunch US-1.
That would be great.
Yeah, I start a door-to-door petition.
For the universe.
I would love, because the Highwayman in the original was not a demon, correct? He claimed he was.
Brian, are you okay with me spoiling the ending of the book for you?
No, I've been flipping through since we started, so
okay.
Go for it.
Turns out the Highwayman is U.S. Archer's brother.
You Simon.
That's not a spoiler, that's obvious from like page 3.
Oh, yes, I know. Aside from the actual like demons on the hills, which they had to kind of, they didn't really explain that well. It was really, really obvious that it was his brother the whole time, but he tells you this kind of cool story about this old-timey trucker who sold his soul to the devil to become the best trucker of all.
Yeah.
Which is the one that that's the story Jason Aaron rode with.
Yes.
And it was really awesome.
It was really cool.
But that's not true at all.
Yeah, it's not. It doesn't he have, isn't his ship, does his ship have alien stuff on it before?
Yes.
Yeah, his one has alien stuff before Archer gets his.
Yeah.
Right? But then he crashes or something into the moon.
Oh.
Well, I know that when Jason Aaron redid him, he made his fake origin that he was lying about a reality. He actually sought out demons in between the U.S. Archer series.
And really?
And his appearance.
That's interesting.
And it's kind of,
wow.
It was kind of interesting. It was because he like had to just retire and become a regular trucker.
Yeah.
And no like stay awake pills or anything were working anymore. And so he made a deal with devils to become this creepy demon monster.
Wow.
Man, there are other solutions in life.
Well, I mean, he was already obsessed with this whole demon thing. He was lying and telling people it to begin with. And
yeah.
It's the Marvel Universe. You can't walk 10 feet without tripping over something magical or toxic waste that'll, you know, turn you into a car.
Or a demon that'll take away your marriage for some obscure reason.
So we've got the fan contest. Brian's tweeting as he reads the issues, and there's going to be a page on Nerdy Show where you can read all these tweets in chronological order. So you too can simulate this experience if you can't find the issues yourself.
In case you want to get inspired to write about or draw
or sing
USAs, or sing about USAs.
Or just get a headache.
Just based off of Brian's response.
So good. So good. Make this happen, guys. Give us something that we can say, hey, Marvel, come on.
You know what comic I'm really excited about this week?
Oh yeah, this is something new, not something old and then forgotten like we've been talking about.
Nope, this is something brand new that I'm really excited about because I love...
Is it by any chance the new Atomic Robo volume?
Yes.
Ha.
What's Atomic Robo?
I was right. I called it.
You did call it.
Oh, damn. Called it.
Well, is it going to be available in brick and mortar stores?
Fuck that shit.
I'm not gonna say.
Brian only promotes digital. He doesn't promote his works
analog
in general.
Yes. Digital and then analog.
Analog. His analog works.
Okay.
I try to keep it a secret that I've ever written comics.
Yeah. Understandable. If it's not a video game, the kids aren't paying attention.
That's what it says on his business card. Brian Clevenger, not a comic writer.
And plus, you have going to a brick and mortar store and paying for comics, the kids just want free web comics these days. That's all they want. They want more Ape at Theater.
Anyway,
New Atomic Robo.
Oh my gosh.
What can you tell us about it without ruining everything?
Oh yeah, don't spoil.
I can tell you that it is back in the 30s. It is a prequel to the last issue of the previous series, but you don't have to have read it to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
They just tie into each other.
Cool. The Tesla.
The
right?
Tesla.
Yeah.
And the undead thing.
Undead dude. I don't know if I want to spoil who it is.
No, don't.
Okay.
Are there robots in it?
No. Yes, there are robots.
Are there dinosaurs?
No.
They are like bones in the earth.
Yeah.
Damn it!
They are present in the earth.
Damn it. Yes.
But it's okay.
6,000-year-old bones buried underneath the cities.
You mean 100-year-old bones placed there by the devil to fool mankind.
I am pretty excited about this Robo series. It's in the 1930s.
It's done for me what I've been wanting for a long time.
Yeah.
Is to see 1930s Robo.
He's with all that funny words he likes to say, like horse feathers. And we're gonna actually see Daddy Tesla is my understanding. This is just from reading the solicitations. Feel free to interrupt me if I'm wrong, Brian. And gangsters steal lab equipment, and Robo has to get it back.
Sort of, yes.
Okay, I'm excited.
I'm excited. That's
I'm
fun.
In. And as a brick and mortar store, I'm going to do my goddamn job and promote it myself. So, that's what I'm going to do.
Mm. Now, Brian, you do a lot of research and a lot of planning when you write these books.
Yeah, an obscene amount.
What has gone into this book? What kind of research has gone into this particular volume of Atomic Robo?
Absolutely none.
I was asleep at the wheel.
I didn't actually write this one. I
paid someone to write it.
I outsourced to India. the script is, there's not a lot of English grammar.
So that's where horse feathers came from. The Tesla
character had an elephant head.
And half of it sounds like tech support for Microsoft.
Yeah, towards the end it kind of spiraled into that. Lesson learned, you know?
Sounds good.
No, actually, this... As historical as this one is, though, it really diverts heavily from history, so I didn't have to do too much research.
Robo is an alternate history.
Well, that's one way of thinking of it. Another way of thinking of it is the way it should have happened.
You mean, he didn't actually exist in our history?
See, then that's where it all went wrong.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Atomic Robo is a, by the time we're done, over a dozen volumes, and it'll be a thesis of what history should have been.
Yes.
And a lesson to future generations that when history, because time is cyclical, as we all know from Time Cube,
it'll
be our opportunity to do it right.
When this is all said and done, a hardcover volume, bound in leather, and it doesn't even say something sensational like Atomic Robot, it just says History as It Should Have Been by Brian Clevenger.
Yes.
I agree with that.
I'm down.
That.
Or it could be Your Future Robot President, you know, the autobiography.
Is that in the cards for Robo?
It's a joke that I keep wanting to make, and there's actually an opportunity where one day we'll be able to, but essentially a reference will be made that he will be elected to President of the United States. I forget the exact date. I had it worked out.
2012.
It's more like the 2100s or something. And he only gets to serve the one term because he has to go out into space for some kind of emergency. So he doesn't have an opportunity to rerun, so that's why he only gets the one term. But it's told in a way where he's like, what, really?
Okay.
So it may just be a joke. It may be real future history. You don't know.
This sounds so good.
I feel like that is a real book that's out, and I want to read it.
Oh, well, too bad.
But it's not, so...
And what's funny, actually, is that the thing that he has to go out to space for, we've already planted the seeds for what that will be. We think far ahead.
You do think far ahead. Something we've talked about in the past. We've had two Atomic Robo-based episodes in the past with very prying interviews with you, which are now extremely outdated based on everything that's happened, I guess. And I think when last we talked, you had up to volume 13 planned out?
Well, we're up to 14 now.
Oh, so it's been slowed down a little bit then.
Well, yeah, because a lot of these... I mean, I've been thinking about Robo for like 10 years, so, you know, there was a backlog of ideas. In fact, I was just doing the research for volume 12 over the weekend.
That's awesome.
Man.
Something I've been wanting to ask you, something that I noticed when I was reading the previous volume, was the characters that look like you and Scott are building an evil computer.
Yes.
And this evil computer bears a extreme resemblance to the Apple of Enlightenment from Earthbound, which is basically this kind of, like, mechanical cervix-looking thing. Intentional?
No, that is. I can guarantee that's a complete coincidence because Scott designed it, and he is not too much of an old-school gamer.
That's a very strange synchronicity.
I think just all evil machines... Robo comes in the room, and he says...
Like, steam coming out of it, and tubes going all over the place.
He's like, this is evil. This is an evil machine. Like, this looks evil. I think all evil machines... Maybe I'm racist towards evil, but I think they all look the same. Okay? All evil machines look the goddamn same.
Well, it's not... I mean, you could look at a snake... And you can look at an alligator, and you know those are evil.
Yeah, those are evil. Those are evil.
Basic similarities.
What are you saying?
Exactly.
You look at a kitten, and you know a kitten is good. Yeah. Okay? And you look at a snake and an alligator, evil.
That's preposterous.
Get her out of here.
No! I'm staying!
Well, I guess it's time for a music break. While we try to get rid of the fictional character.
Where's Jennifer? I hear his voice.
That's really creepy.
I'll tear your eyes out.
This has gone to a weird place.
Guys, we gotta cut to the song break.
Okay.
She's pounding this door.
The restraining order against that.
So, recently, Parental Floss released an album called What If Video Games Have Lyrics? And this is normally how he makes his music, is by taking the music and just singing over it. This is an actual parody entitled Mushroom Kingdom. It's pretty awesome. Enjoy.
All right, the song kind of suck. Oh, my shields. Oh, I'm dead.
Mushroom Kingdom, you're a scary place. There's a teacup copter with a scary clown face. Oh, poop, it's King Koop. Mushroom Kingdom, you will probably die unless a hero comes to save your populi of fungi.
He can go for hours.
Hi, this is Christopher Lambert. I want to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Nerdy Show. Nerdy Show is brought to you by a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, and the Oviedo branch of Play and Trade. If you have questions or comments, please feel free to send them to info@nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show podcasts via the iTunes store. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @NerdyShow or friend us on Facebook. If you enjoyed what you heard, support Nerdy Show by telling a friend, or better yet, giving you money by visiting the Nerdy Show, picking up a t-shirt, donate directly to Nerdy Show for cool, nerdy perks. These guys know how to fight the soldiers of Outworld. They didn't ask you to come back to do Mortal Kombat 2. I'm not quite sure why. I would have done it for free. I don't know why they asked James Remar to play Raiden in Mortal Kombat 2 Annihilation. Hey, I stole your car from the party. Get over it.